Good morning. I guess as people are still making their way in and finding a seat, wow, it's bright up here. Lights have changed since I've been gone. I want to thank you for coming to Eagles Way Church today. Okay. We've got upbeat songs today. I always kind of like to find out. I don't want to get up here and pump everybody up real good, and then they come in real slow, or stay too low, and then they come in real loud. Try to go with the band. Can't go wrong when you're with the band. I want to thank you. If you are a guest here today, you had a lot of places to choose from. Griffin has a lot of churches, and you had a lot of places you could have gone. But you came here, and we want to say thank you and hope you feel welcome. Do we have cups still? Are there plenty of cups out in the foyer? We have cups. Okay, so on your way out, you'll see a tumbler. If you're a guest, pick one up. I want to share a little bit. As I was sitting here a couple of weeks ago, I felt like the Spirit said to me, "What is the Bible saying to you?" And kind of kick-started a thought process in me. And a lot of times we hear that in a negative way. You know, well, let me tell you what the Bible says. And somebody's going to tell you what the Bible says, because they know they need to tell you what the Bible says for you. And it's true that there are people who are anointed and called, and they stand up here, and they do tell you what the Bible says, and they're speaking the truth in love. But there's a different what does the Bible say to you, and that's when you find it. When somebody says something and it strikes a chord in you. And some years ago, many years ago, someone very dear to me went through a terrible time. And it's one of those times you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy. And she was heartbroken, and she was hurt, and in a position of leadership and leading people into the presence of God. And she said, "You know what? I need a break." And she sat down for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, maybe. I don't know exactly how long. But she found something about what the Bible said to her. And it said to her that even when she's broken, she's going to praise and she's going to worship. And she got back up here and she sang with all her heart in the midst of her brokenness, because that's what the Bible said to her. And if you're a member here and you need to find that sentence, that verse, that person in the Bible who went through something and it ministers to you, we've got life coaches, we got Joey and Dr. Ralph, and we've got licensed counselors and Miss Langston. We've got trained prayer warriors that will help you, that can sit down with you and help you see or find what it is. Maybe something is said from up here in the midst of all the verses that are quoted, and something strikes a chord in you, and that's the Spirit saying, "That's what I'm saying to you." So today I hope, as the praise team leads us into the presence of God in a greater way, and as the pastor comes up and speaks, that you'll find that nugget, that thing, that moment, that word for you that helps change your life in a better way. God bless you and thank you.
So made of my mind, and I'm giving all of my life this time. No turning back. I've made up my mind, I'm giving all of my life this time.
This morning on the way here, I just prayed, and sometimes you don't know exactly what to pray. But this next song says, "Let it be Jesus the first thing that I call," so I just called. And the common thread throughout these next, through the song that I just sang in these next two songs is, this scripture. And it's in Psalms, and it says, "Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the ocean depths. You care for people and animals alike. O Lord, how precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your river of delights. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see." And, you know, I was sharing with Lauren and Bobby Joe, I said, you know, something Dad actually said to me this weekend. Once, when the scripture says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And once you have tasted his goodness and experienced that, once that river that he, of his delight that he pours out, once you taste it, anything else, nothing else satisfies. Nothing else satisfies. Everything else is, we can go to this river to drink, or this river to drink, or to that, or to this person. But at the end of the day, it is when you just say, "God, let it be you. I want to drink from you." And he freely pours out that water, and it's his delight to do it. And so this morning, I'm just thankful that all I have to do is say, "God, you're the first name that I called this morning." And he reminded me that I've tasted and seen his goodness, and it's still there. I just go back to it. Go back to it again. Go back to it again. You were there last week. Go back to it again right now. Tomorrow when you wake up, go back to it. Go back to that river. Go back to that fountain and drink from it. Go back to it the next day. Go back to it every single day. Let that be the first name that you call. Go back to the river. Drink from that fountain. Be satisfied. He satisfies. He satisfies. Daily he pours out his goodness and his love and his mercy. He says, "It's my delight to be with you. Taste and see. Taste again. You've tasted it before. Taste it again. Let that be the first name that you call. Amen.
Let it be Jesus, the first name that I call. Let it be Jesus, my song inside the storm.
next song talks about the Holy Spirit being welcome here in this place. And that doesn't mean a physical building. It means within our hearts also. It's Christ within us. He blessed us with the Holy Spirit to be a part of our lives, not just every day, but every moment. And he gives us that to provide that peace, to provide that grace, to provide that love, that forgiveness, that hope, the endurance, the motivation, the never-ending grace for not only ourselves but others. In Ephesians it says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources that he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. And Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Amen. He is so good to us. Oh, he's so good to us. His love is just never failing. It's so deep and so lovely. Amen.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare.
You know, I just want us to pause for a moment for a prayer of thanksgiving. David came to me in the foyer and said while they was in the back and they were talking that they decided they wanted me to come up at the end of this set and just to pray. But what I want to do, I want to pray a special prayer. I want to pray a prayer of thanksgiving for David, for being who you are. Thank you, Ike. Greg, I wish somebody would teach you how to really play those drums. Paul, thank you. Kitty, thank you. Shane, thank you. Bobby Joe, Lauren, Dusty, thank y'all for doing what you do so well and leading us into the presence of the Lord. I was got to Sylvan Grove Hospital Rehab Center just the other day, and I got there just in time to see this ambulance and these two guys with somebody on a bed come down the hall, and it was Nora Cordova, and she just with a big old smile on her face and just raised up in the bed and just gave me a bear hug and just hugged on me and loved on me. And next thing I knew, she was in a room, but she walked out in the hall and gave me a big old hug again. And I'm just, God, thank you. Thank you that you can do so many wonderful things and how you can bring a person from here to here. Thank you, God, for just so much we are so grateful and thankful for. Thank God for you. Thank God for you being who you are. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being. Amen. Thank you. Aren't you just grateful for life? Aren't you thankful for life? Whew, you may be seated. Going to do something this morning I love doing. And I'm going to ask Jared and Crystal and some family members going to be coming down to dedicate Grayson this morning. You can come down. Got big.
Yes.
That's what happens. Some of you can come on this side to kind of balance it out. You want to come over here? That way. We're going to sing you a song. How about that first? And then we're going to do what we do. All right?
God knows you by name.
Protect you and keep you pure. May you never stumble or fall for a lure. May your heart remain humble to the very end. May uprightness and truth be what you defend. May the world not ensnare or change who you are. May the light that's within you shine like the stars. May angels surround you, body, spirit, mind. May favor and peace be yours to find. May rejection and pain never reach you. May your spirit grow bold for what you are called to. As you rest in God's care, I will rest too, knowing that Jesus is watching over you. Amen.
Amen. Scripture says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the Father's ocean, even there your hand will guide me. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched over me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, and I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book, and every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. So, Mr. Grayson, would you hand me that little bowl over there, Mike? Just hand. You can be a part of this dedication, being your granddaddy. Yeah. We christen you and dedicate you and consecrate you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Grayson, your name, Grayson means the son of a steward, means account. You're the Count of Monte Cristo, means Earl. And Michael means be like God. And so may you carry this stewardship of being like God all the days of your life, and that you have the support of all these people and this wonderful family to raise you up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. You know, I was thinking, Jared, as they're singing those songs and as I was reading those scriptures, that your mother held him before you held him. And your mother saw him before you saw him. And she's rejoicing today over all of that. God bless you. Amen. Amen. You're welcome. Bye, buddy. I'll see a lot of you, I'm sure. Here's a book we want to give you, too. Just a moment. I always forget about the book and the certificate. I'm sorry. Amen. Thank you. All right. Isn't it amazing that God... See, we're spirit beings. Before, I read something this week that was so neat, and it said this, that our birth certificate and our natural birthing into this life is our passport to earth. It's just a passport. Your birth certificate is your passport to this planet. But you're going to return back to where you originated from. You know, I love traveling. I've been to a lot of places, and I love seeing a lot of places, but there's There's no place like home, is there? You know, you can go to some extravagant place, but there's just something about home, something about your bed, something about mama's cooking, something about just being at home that's so, so wonderful. And you and I, the Bible says, came from God. The Bible says, and when we die, our body returns to the earth from which it came. But our spirit, listen, our spirit returns to God from which it came. God knew us before you were ever born. He knew you. He just decided to put you on loan to some people here for a period of time, but you really and truly belong to him. We're trying to get that message across here, aren't we? We've been trying for a long time to get this message across. If you're wondering, maybe you're visiting with us and say, man, what's that being up there all about? We had a paradigm shift at the first of this year, and we decided God spoke to us about not focusing on doing, but focus on being. Because if you'll focus on being, the doing will be much more effective. If your doing comes out of your being, and your being comes out of you realizing and knowing who you really are, then your doing is going to be so powerful. Because it's going to come out of the confidence and the awareness of who you really are. I want to read several verses of scripture this morning, a little more than I normally read, but I'm going to read out of the book of Galatians. We're going to stay in that book all morning. And I mean all morning. I don't mean till noon. I just mean over the next 25, 30 minutes. But Paul in Galatians writes in chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? Who has cast an evil? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you have seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Wow. Surely what happened to you was not in vain. The Apostle Paul was one person who, if he could have boasted in the law, if anyone could boast in doing the law, it was Paul. He said, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was a Pharisee. I was blameless concerning the law. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. He studied under this great teacher called Gamaliel, and it was noted in history that the Apostle Paul could quote the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, word for word. He could quote it. And yet he says in Philippians, he says, I count all of that but dung and refuse that I may know him, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, that I might attain unto him, I might apprehend him the way he apprehended me, that I may live my life not by the righteousness of the law, but the righteousness which is of faith, not of works which I can boast in, but what Christ has done for me. And so he says to the Galatians, you started this walk in the Spirit. You started it out. He said, but who cast this? He uses some strong words. Now, I know you parents, and we just dedicated a child, and you're going to not like this word I'm about to say, because you teach your kids, don't say this. But there's one translation that says, oh, foolish Galatians. Another translation says, you stupid Galatians. It literally, as a translation of the scriptures, it calls it as it is. He said, who casts this spell on you? Who gave you this evil eye? The Greeks and these Galatians were noted. They had a great fear, there was a superstition they had that if someone gave them the evil eye, anybody ever gotten the evil eye? Anybody? It's nothing like it. It's my parents used to give me the evil eye. In other words, she didn't have to say anything. Didn't have to open her mouth and say, I'm about to whatever. All they had to do was look at me and give me the evil eye. And I had just something overwhelmed you like something bad's about to happen. This isn't good. Now, my grandson, Jet, he will give you what I affectionately call the stink eye. Now, if Jet gives you the stink eye, you just gonna be blessed by the stink eye. It's just that little, and he's so cute, and you know, you're just being blessed by the stink eye. But when somebody gives you the evil eye, you know something bad's about to happen. You know something, and he says, who gave you this evil eye? Who put this spell on you that you're about to be judged? Oh, who cast this spell on you to bring you back into guilt and condemnation, and you think you got to measure up, and by your own efforts and your human trying, you're going to make God accept you? When God accepted you before you ever accepted him. Matter of fact, he said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before you even asked for forgiveness, God forgave you. Before you ever became to know him, he knew you. Before you ever said, I love you, he said, I love you. Before you ever said, I accept you, he says, I accept you. And he's always loved you and accepted you from the very beginning. You have always been and always will be his. You just have to be awakened to that. In Galatians 1 verse 6, he says, I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way, what pretends to be the good news. Wow. But it's not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us or any angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than one we preached to you. There's not a person that likes the word cursed. And let me tell you what this actually really means. When Paul says, if anybody brings to you another gospel, even if it's an angel from heaven, if anybody comes and says to you anything other than the good news, that I love you, that I accept you, that you belong to me, that you have been forgiven, and by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. If anybody comes to you with any other gospel in any other way, let him be accursed. Some people have thought in their lifetime, like, I'm cursed. And what they're really saying is this. Every time I take one step forward, I take two steps back. Every time I get ahead, I get behind. Every time something good happens, something bad happens. Every time I just can never seemingly get to the place of being who I want to be and achieving what I want to achieve. And you see, as long as you and I or anyone else believes there's another way to Christ, there's another way to goodness, there's another way to God's acceptance other by his sheer love and mercy and grace to you, his unmerited favor, you'll never inherit the promises. Because they will not be inherited based upon what you have done, but based upon what he has promised. Not based upon your behavior or my behavior, but based upon the fact that Christ died on the cross for all people. Then why? Let me just give you some reasons why not the law. Number one, if you choose the law, you got to fully stand on that. You got to fully stand on it. You live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. No one has ever succeeded in keeping it. You are cursed, the Bible says, if you break one part of it. Then why the law? It defines sin. It defines sin. In chapter 3, verse 19, he said, why then was the law given? It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. God gave his law through angels and to Moses. I want to stop right there and share something with you. The law is two stages, two steps away from God. The law didn't come directly from God to man. It came through angels and then through Moses. I'm not going to go real deep with that. I just want you to hear that. It came through angels and then it came through Moses. So many times, the law is going through so many channels and so many voices and so many people. By the time it really gets to where it ought to be, it's been so distorted and perverted that it lost every bit of its meaning. How many people have ever heard the rumor mill? And by the time it gets to where it really is headed, how many times that story has changed and how embellished it has really become. And how that when we really try to get on someone or someone tries to get on somebody else, they always exaggerate what that person has said and what that person has done. Because it's going through every other channel, but the channel that it ought to go through first and foremost, and it's a channel of the Holy Spirit directly from God. The law came through angels and Moses. Grace and truth came through God, through Jesus Christ. One channel. It can never be distorted. It can never be perverted. It can never be twisted because it's coming directly from him. Aren't you proud of that? God gave his law through angels to Moses, who was a mediator between God and the people. Now, a mediator is helpful if more than one party must reach an agreement. But God, who is one, did not use a mediator when he gave his promise to Abraham. Is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the law could give us new life, we would be made right with God by obeying it. But the scriptures declare that we're all prisoners of sin, so receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. I hope you can get this morning, because I'm going to try to get it out the best way that I can. But until Christ really comes into your life, you're a prisoner. Until Christ really comes into our life, we're held captive. And we're held captive from the abundance that God wants to give us, from the air of promise that he wants to fulfill in us. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God. So now by the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There's no longer Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you're all one in Christ, and now that you belong to Christ, you are true children of Abraham. Listen, you are heirs of God's promise, because Abraham belongs to you. Grace is the word charis, which means unmerited favor. It's free. It's unmerited. It empowers us. It's positive. What does grace do? Law said, don't do to other people what you don't want done to you. Grace says, do to other people what you would have them to do unto you. It's proactive. It's positive. It's not saying don't do something. It's saying do something. There's a whole church world out there that's built a whole lot of rules and regulations and doctrines by telling people what not to do and not telling them what they can do and what they can be and what they can become because of the promises of Abraham have been given to you by faith and not because of any works that you've done. In chapter 4, he says, think of it like this. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than the slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. I'll share that what that means in a moment. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was before Christ came. We were not children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. I was talking with someone the other day, and he was talking about a friend of ours who comes from a very wealthy family. Very wealthy. And that because of whatever, they have been cut out of the will. That when father passes away, the inheritance won't be passed on. Now, that's not the first time I've ever heard that story. And I'm sure that you probably know somebody. You probably know some people who was cut out of the will by their behavior. Does anybody know anybody that's ever been cut out of the will because of their behavior? We keep people in bondage. There's a church world. There's so many people who have belonged to Christ for years and years, but they're still treated like their children. And they never have come to the age of receiving the inheritance and receiving the promise. They're kept a bay from what God really wants for them. And Paul says, you were once children that was not at the age that when you got to the age, he would hand you over. It belongs to you, but you can't use it. It's yours, but you have no power over it. Legally, it belongs to you, but yet you've never experienced it. And Paul is saying, you were once that way. All of these things were yours, but you were held captive by a lack of understanding of who you really are. In the ancient world, the process of growing up was much more clearly defined than it is with us. We still have people today that say, well, you become a man when you turn 21. It's like we keep our hand over our children, and we have no rite of passageway into adulthood. And when you don't have a proper passageway into adulthood, then you won't really act like an adult. We won't be able to get our inheritance and receive these promises and walk them out on our own as long as we are kept. This is yours, but you can't have it. The Jew at the age of 12 becomes a man. In most other cultures, the rite to passagehood to adulthood is much, much younger than we look at. We're talking 12 and 13 years of age. And I am of the belief, and I believe that the sooner we allow our children to grow up, the sooner they will grow up. And the sooner they will take their own responsibilities, and the better their life they will live out because they're not under the law. You say, that's scary. It's scary because we've never done it. It's scary because, you know, We did this with Dusty years ago, and it was a revelation we didn't get until she was past 13 and 14. So she was about 17, 16? How old? 16, when we had a dinner and we released her into adulthood. And when I did that, this is what happened. When we released her into adulthood, I said to her, I will no longer discipline you. You're directly under God now. You will take full responsibility for all of your behavior. Oh, that's scary. Now listen, that doesn't mean that I'm married, okay? Barbara and I'm an adult. She's an adult. Just because we're adults don't mean there's no regulations in the household. Doesn't mean that we can just go do anything we want to do. But if we will release our children in adulthood, the sooner we're able to do that, the sooner they're going to take responsibility and they're going to live their life out in a greater way than you could ever thought or dreamt. And Paul said, as long as you keep telling people, as long as they're continually told, you're not accepted, you're not mature enough, you're not old enough, you're not this, you're not that, instead of believing the truth about what God has said to you, you'll never experience those blessings. We're kidnapped. We're kidnapped. Though we own it all, we have no power. Paul says that the law was elementary knowledge. You know what he meant by that? You just know the ABCs. Jet just learned the ABCs. But you know why he learned the ABCs? Y'all don't know? You know why they teach us the ABCs? Not so we can say the ABCs, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P, Q, I, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. Now I said my ABCs, tell me what you think of me. That's cute when you're 5. That's cute when you're 6 even. That's not cute in the 3rd grade if you're saying A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Now tell me what you think of me. That ain't cute. That's, something's wrong with that kid. Something's wrong. No, you're given the ABCs so that you can articulate words and say things that you ought to say. Paul says the good news is the ABCs articulated in the proper manner, for which when you speak encouraging, uplifting, positive words to people. You're accepting them and loving them and letting them know how wonderful they are and how great they are. That's what the ABCs are for. That's what the ABCs are for. Not to boast that I know my ABCs. Not to boast to know I can speak, I can talk. How do you talk? What do I say with this wonderful vocabulary I have? What are the words that I'm speaking? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, O God, be acceptable unto thee. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, only words that are good for the use of edifying, for ministering grace to the hearers. Let your words be seasoned with salt. If you're going to say anything, let it be a good thing. If you're going to speak over people's lives, speak blessings over people's lives. If you're going to say anything about anybody, make sure what you're saying is good about them. Make sure that you're proclaiming the good news that God came, that he died for all of us, and that Christ did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That he didn't give us this wonderful way of communicating and this wonderful way of talking and speaking to do anything other than bless, encourage, and strengthen, and love. In any other way, the ABCs have been perverted into what they weren't created to be, because they're created to be a blessing. And every moment of every day that I have the responsibility and the stewardship of my life to make sure that I'm a good steward of the grace that was given me. And this same unmerited favor that was given me, I'll give to you, Penny. My same unmerited favor that God gave to me, that I'll give to you, Joy. You ain't got to earn it. You don't have to tell me how wonderful I am as often as you do for me to tell you how wonderful you are. I didn't get this unmerited favor for me. I got this grace, this charis gift to give to you. And you don't have to merit it. Your behavior is not determined on what I do for you. It's what it's called. By grace are you saved. Through faith, Bill, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. He said, it's yours. I freely give it to you because I love you. And you don't have to do anything to merit it. And you can't do anything to dismerit it. I don't know if that's a word or not, but you can't do anything to disqualify you. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. They're irrevocable. I'll never take them back. There are men and women in the world today. There are strong men of God in the world today who failed and was kicked out of church and told they can no longer do this and no longer do that because of one act, one bad behavior. And they disqualified them. And God says, I'll never disqualify you. I'll never, ever disqualify you. The only way you can be disqualified, and please hear this, only way you can be disqualified is disqualify yourself. It's the only way. For you to say to you, I'm a nobody. I don't deserve it. And to reject it. The wonderful, unmerited favor of God. Terry, I heard something the other day, and it just blew me away. But this person had been praying and asking God to heal them, and God healed them. Now, we're taught, and we should, say, God, thank you, right? Be grateful that God did that. Do you know what this person said? That after they had prayed all this and God healed them, you know what happened? The Holy Spirit spoke to them and said this. Oh, thank you for receiving my gift. God said to them, thank you for receiving my gift. Thank you. Don't ever turn away a gift. I was watching David play this morning. I was reminded when David was a little boy. I mean, I think he was about, I don't know if you remember this, David, but you had a $100 bill. I think he was about 4 or 5 years old. You came up to me in the foyer and gave me that $100 bill. You remember that? Maybe I'll pray about that again. But he came up and he gives me this $100 bill. Well, first thing I do, number one, I took it. And you say, how can you take a $100 bill from a four-year-old? Watch. just reach out and take it. I went to Mama and I said, Kitty, your little boy just gave me a $100 bill. And she said, take it. Receive it. Receive it. We got to get past our pride. We got to get past. Learn to receive. Learn to receive. Learn to say, just say thank you. I can't take that. Yes, you can. You can. It's real easy. Just take it and just here. See? Was that easy? I saw that hand. Let's stand together. We're going to honor our seniors in a moment, our graduates. Before we do, I want to honor you. I want to honor you. Are you ready? I want to give you, I wish I had however many people, I wish I had the certificate. But I'm going to do this spiritually. Here is your graduation certificate into spiritual adulthood. You're no longer a child who has been promised the inheritance. You have the inheritance. You no longer have to wait to get better, to get smarter. It's already yours. It's yours. You graduated. Congratulations. You graduated. Congratulations. Man, when we graduated, our parents thought that was something, wasn't it, Mike? They shout, boy, because they didn't believe it ever happened. But it did. I have graduated you into a spiritual adulthood. Thank you. Now you have all the inheritance. Well, don't be so overwhelmed by it. Wow. It's yours, y'all. It's yours now, buddy. You're rich. You're not poor. You're healed. You're not sick. You're above. You're not beneath. You're the head. You're not the tail. You're a spiritual adult. It belongs to you. You are you, and you are in God, and God's in you. You are a true being from heaven who's filled with heaven and filled with the promises of God. You are somebody very special because you are a child of God. Child of God. Your daddy owns it all. What an inheritance. Your daddy owns it all. So don't ever say, I ain't got it. You got it. You just got to receive it. Amen? You may be seated. Hallelujah. Where's Brian? Brian? I won't stop with you today. I'm fine. Those days are over. You don't have to worry about them days anymore.
Just want to make sure.
Who we got? Yep.
It was kind of, sitting back, listen to Pastor Buren about the your becoming a spiritual adult. You know, I think it's very important for our young people to be in here and hear some of those things. But we have two graduates today that, I mean, if you talk about symbolically becoming an adult, I can't think of anything better than your high school graduation and getting ready to go on and take that next chapter, that next step in your life. So this is always really, really important time to me. I got a chance to speak at the Spalding High School Baccalaureate last year, and we talked about, you know, this being a wonderful time. And one of the things I talked to the students about is just, you know, understanding what God has in store for you. You were not put on this earth just to be, just to wander aimlessly. You were put here, right, and you were created in his likeness to do great things. We talked about performing even greater works than he did. That is why you're here. And this is your parents releasing you. This is school releasing you. Unless you're going to college, it's going to get you for another 4 to 6 years, let me tell you. But it's releasing you. It's us basically turning you over and just saying, look, it's your time to go out and shine. So this is always a special time of year for me. You know, we have a couple. I haven't had a chance to spend as much time with, you know, you two as I would like to. You know, Carly, you know, my twin, inside joke. You know, just seeing you grow up, you know, and become the young woman that you are, seeing you on Facebook and Instagram and just understanding and seeing how, you know, what we got, the great things that God has for you, seeing the influence that you are, you know, in your family member's life. You know, I don't see a picture with you not posting with some child, you know, in your family, be it a niece or nephew, whoever, you're always there for them, and you're a shining example for them. And I want you to remember that as you go forward. They're always going to look to you. You're not living for yourself. You're living for them as well, so they can grow up and follow in that same footstep that you were in. Maddie, you know, the last couple of weeks seeing you up there singing, it has just been amazing, just what you brought to the youth group in just 2 weeks. And in talking to Greg, I talked to him before you got up there this morning. I said, hey, you know, Maddie, she's really working out, man. We enjoy it. And he said, man, it's so awesome because when I'm up there playing and she's singing, she's so comfortable. She does all the little woo-woo-woo-woos that the comfortable singers do. You know, I really like the woo-woo-woos. So keep doing those all the rest of your life as you go throughout your walk. Keep doing the woo-woo-woos, okay? Keep doing those things. And I'm not going to stand up here and talk long, but we definitely wanted to just speak a little bit about, speak life into you guys and just let you know this is a new chapter. And you're going to do some really, really great things. You know, we're here. We love you. You've been around here for a long time, and we're not going anywhere. As you go out and change the world and do all these great things, understand we're right here. And if you want to stay here and do some great things right here in Eagles Way Church, we have a place for you. You know, we hope to see you up there singing on that stage, and who knows, maybe up here on this stage and even bigger stages. So, you know, you guys keep that in your mind as you move forward. So I've always kind of already kind of tipped my hand as to who's coming up, but we'll start with Ms. Carly Ross. You can stand up here. Miss Maddie Stevens. Miss Woo Woo Woo.
Handed this glorious book, this Bible, and it's cherished, it's honored, it's revered, and it should be. But the destiny of this book was not the printed page. This was not the destiny of this. The destiny of this book was you, that it becomes you, and you become it. And that's what will happen in your life, as you become living epistles, read of all men of the goodness of God. So, Father, I thank you for these graduates. I thank you for these two women of God who are going to change the world. I thank you, God, for the grace that's mightily upon them. I thank you, Lord, for everything that's going to happen in and through their life, and Lord, that the best is truly yet to come. And we give you thanks and honor and glory in Christ's name. Amen. Bless you. You thought that was going to be a $100 bill, didn't you?
I was hoping.
I didn't have a $100 bill, darling.
God's good, isn't he? All the time. If you have your connection card, make sure that if you're a member, you have filled that out. If you're visiting, we'd like for you to fill that out. Just gives us a record of your visit, a way that you can communicate with us. If you're also visiting with us, we have a free gift for you that it's out at the information booth. You can just grab one as you're going by, and there's a little letter in there for you for that. As our ushers are preparing to receive our morning tithes and offerings, you can go ahead and begin passing that out. There's a lot of information that was in your bulletin. Information about summer camp. The chicken queue is coming up in a couple of weeks. All of those proceeds are going to help the students go to summer camp. I have people that are already bringing furniture and yard sale items today. Woohoo! Hallelujah. We need it. So if you have items that you would like to donate, you can bring them at any time during office hours or arrange with me and I can get you in to the building so that you can drop your stuff off between now and the June the 3rd, so our yard sale is on the 4th, and so you can bring that stuff by. We can do it. If you need somebody to, if you have enough stuff that warrants a pickup, we will make that happen. I have people that are willing to come and pick it up for you, so I need about a pickup truck load, so don't call me out there for a box. You can put a box in your car and bring it to us. So let's pray and let's bless this offering. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to your house, worship you, Lord, receive from you, that you fill us, Father, Lord. You empower us. Lord, you give us the strength to go and do what you've called us to do, to be who you've called us to be. And that, Father, Lord, that it changes people's lives when we come in contact with them. Lord, I ask you to take the tithes, the offerings, the alms, Father, Lord. Use it to the furtherment of your kingdom, God, for people's lives to be touched. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may stand, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday is our first Wednesdays. Make sure it's on your calendar. And let's worship.
Make this your prayer today. Oh. There's no turning back. And we sing it. No turning back. I've made up my mind. I'm giving all of my life this time. No turning back. I've made up my mind. I'm giving all of my life this time. Your love makes it worth it. Your love makes it worth it all. Your love makes
a great week. Enjoy.